Hello again, I'm Adam Shapiro, and this is Talkonomics, and we're going to do something special today. I got so many responses from people on Twitter about Kareth Foster, and we've already had Kareth as a guest twice, but it occurred to me that we should start having Kareth come back on a regular basis, and she and I can just talk about timely topics. So Kareth is here now because you never know what's going to come out of her mouth. She is a comedian. But there are a lot of issues we're all talking about. So please welcome again to Talkonomics, Kareth Foster.
Thank you.
And before, I'm going to let a little bird out of the cage here. One of the reactions I got was from a friend of mine who's a publisher who listened to the discussion Kareth and I had about race in the United States and called me up. He had only gotten halfway through that Talkonomics and said, I want her to write a book. So they're having lunch in a couple of days. So this is someone you should listen to. But before we go even further, you posted something on Facebook the other day. I call this Adventures in Mommy Land.
And it
had to do with your breasts and a cat.
Wow, you just jumped right in, didn't you?
I jumped right in. And this is not a news topic, but I know women. I used to have a weather woman when I worked in Cleveland who would be pumping.
Right.
During commercial breaks on our morning show.
Not at the desk.
No, of course not. Okay. Not when she was live. But we could hear, my co-anchor Danita Harris and I could hear the pump going, yes, as we're delivering the news. So now what is it about a cat on a windowsill?
No, so I mean, even though we're in New York City in Manhattan, there are stray cats near us because there's a lot of – like people have backyards. I'm in one of those wonderful areas that actually people have backyards. And there are stray cats, and one was in heat the other night, and it started this like crying, and it sounded like a baby cry, and because I'm still nursing, my boobs reacted, and I'm like, you've got
to
be, yeah, and then it turned into wails, and I'm like, this poor cat, and then all I could think is, she is living the life of all my single girlfriends in New York City, just trying to find the right dude to take care of her needs.
Okay, so this will only apply for women who are listening, but I got to tell you, you brought up dating in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Women are at a disadvantage in this city.
Oh, yeah. Oh, without question. I mean, my rule forever was gay until proven straight because it seemed like every person I was attracted to who was smart and funny and I had it together was gay. And then you have the guys who are – I mean, New York City is honestly – it's a wonderful, fabulous place. I found my own here. But it is the biggest playground in the world.
Yeah.
While it's the center of the economy and of politics and of entertainment, in all this power, there are still people who – they want to be able to play.
Yeah, but the women are outnumbered. There are more women than there are men. So
oh,
the men
question.
Get to choose. There was a young woman who used to work here. I'm very good friends with her. She's moved on to another network. But she had a term – for the kind of stereotypical Wall Street type guy who she would date. And she called them Urdus.
Mm.
And that stands for urban douche. And she did not like these characters. And it was really, she said she was at a disadvantage. And when you bring up gay until proven straight, I tried to fix her up a couple times. Mm-hmm. And my gaydar is terrible because I would say, this guy is wonderful. You're going to love him. And she would meet them and say, Shaps, my nickname, she said, gay. I said, no, he's straight.
No.
She was dating this one guy. Took her to a baseball game, but mm-hmm. didn't try to kiss her. And I said, well, maybe he's shy. And she said, no. Yeah, if you saw Catherine, you'd know. And I was like, okay, I'm going to stop trying to fix you up.
Well, and like you said, they're outnumbered. There are so many more women to men that the men can play. And I, you know, my husband likes to point out to me, and I keep telling him he should write a book called If You Want to Get Married, Read This, because he helps all of my single girlfriends with their relationship issues. But I was telling him about this one guy who was really great, and I liked him, but I only saw him every 6 weeks. And he's like, Kareth, I hate to tell you this, but you were in rotation. I was like, what? I was what? And he was right. He was right. Because this guy, I mean, he was, you know, this gorgeous black man. He worked on Wall Street, and he had it together, and he had a bajillion girls chasing him.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to switch topics. Mm-hmm. I want to go back to we'll talk about your breasts, but not necessarily yours. I love that this is a podcast because you can do things with this that you can't do on television.
Yeah. Like, because then the camera would have zoomed in on my bosoms. And
only in prime time. Only in prime time. And now with 3D television coming, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Watch out.
But there's a real issue because Ellen DeGeneres is getting sued.
Yeah.
You know, did you read about this?
I did.
Okay, so there's a real estate agent in, I think it's Georgia,
mm-hmm.
whose name is TT.
Spelled T-I-T-I.
Right, which sounds
Very similar.
But her last name is Pierce.
Right.
And so she's a real estate agent. She had a sign that said T.T. Pierce. And T.T., by the way, is Nigerian.
Okay.
It's a word that means flower.
Okay. Okay.
So that's what she's named for.
So it wasn't like a made-up name.
No. Like Dajanera?
Like
your cousin, right?
My cousin.
Yeah.
I do have some family members with some creative. Let's call them creative.
Creative names. But this is a woman who is successful. She is part of corporate America, because you always say if you name your kid Dajanera if you don't want them to get a job in corporate America, right?
Right.
But they showed this on the Ellen DeGeneres show, and it included her cell phone number. Now, this is a woman who also works at the Air Force. She is an engineer.
Okay.
So she's no lightweight.
Right.
And she's suing because, well, Ellen made fun of her name, not T.T., saying it looks like
Titty?
Yeah.
By chance?
Yes.
Yeah. That's not okay. But here's the deal. I mean, as a comedian, obviously a joke is a joke, and you're going to go there. However, the issue for me, she shouldn't be suing about making fun of her name. She should be upset about the fact that her number. Right?
The phone number, right. Yeah.
Right. Because I think people sue for such frivolous things, you know? And then there are real things. Like, remember that McDonald's thing years ago, the lady who burned herself?
Oh, don't go
with
there.
The coffee?
She absolutely should have sued.
She should have sued. But most people don't know that. They think she was driving with the coffee. She wasn't even driving. She was a passenger.
Right. And she had third-degree burns.
Yes,
that coffee
yes.
was like at 100 and something
yeah,
degrees.
Yeah, she had to have skin grafts. So, you know, there are things that I think you in the media that get taken out of context and blown up.
But
I know.
TV reporters, we never do that.
I know. But, you know, I think, if anything, she should be upset that her privacy was, you know, she was exposed.
The cell number.
Right.
But when you go into T.T.'s
yes.
story,
listen,
can we be honest here? If you can say the words you said earlier, if I couldn't do it. Ellen DeGeneres might be able to get away with that joke
right,
in the innuendo.
Right.
Could Adam Carolla have done that joke and not been called sexist?
Probably not. Like, and that's actually a really valid point.
Thank you. Double standard world. Okay, but back to T.T. She called up, so it aired.
Mm-hmm.
She got nasty phone calls from people all over the country.
Because people are idiots.
Yes, some people. I said to Dennis Prager yesterday, you know, I am such a Pollyanna. I'm gullible as a reporter. But I firmly believe people are decent at their core. And he said, no, they're not.
I'm with you. I think most people are nice, good people. But there are select group that yes. they're idiots. I'm sorry. I wish there was a nicer term. They don't think before they act. They do things with this cloak of invisibility because they can. And sometimes people do things to be cruel. I mean, I've gotten messages from YouTube videos. I'm like, for doing like funny jokes, people right. are like, oh, you're horrible. You're stupid. I'm like, what? Like, I didn't do anything
right.
to you. What
right.
are you talking about?
So in the case of T.T., though, she called the show.
Mm-hmm.
And she informed them, hey, this is what's happened. Please do something. So when they posted the clip online, they blocked out her phone number.
Okay.
But then the show re-aired several months later in reruns, and they did not block out the phone number. So now she's suing. You think she'll get anything?
You know, I kind of hope she does.
Really?
I do, honestly, because that's a production issue. And whoever was producing that show, whoever was running that show should be responsible. You know, especially if they knew beforehand what was happening, they should have made no. And in fact, even before it aired, they probably shouldn't have had her phone number out there. People in TV know that there are folks out in the general public who, I mean, look at every time there's a number in a movie, right? It's 555.
Yeah, it's a fake number.
It's a fake number. So why would you do that? You don't show people's license plates. You don't give out their personal numbers. That's not acceptable.
I'm sitting here thinking because couldn't they just give her a car or something? Couldn't they pull an Oprah
and
make her go away?
That might do the trick. I think that's a good idea.
T.T., we're sorry. Have a new car.
Right, with personalized license plates. It says, I'm T.T.
Oh, I bet we get some calls on that. I think you and I are in agreement. Yes, they should have blocked out the phone number. But does it really rise to the level of suing?
Well, how did it affect her life?
She got nasty phone calls. She's a real estate agent.
Okay. Is it taking away from her business? Is she losing part of her livelihood because of that? Is her voice mailbox full because of these crazy people? Mm-hmm. She's missing out on business? I mean, seriously, that's like a real consideration.
Yeah. We will keep you abreast of this one. We will stay on top of it. Sorry.
Nice.
You're the comedian. I will keep my day job.
Nice.
We got to talk about this presidential election. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It is now Bernie Sanders doesn't realize this, but it is Clinton Trump. Or Trump Clinton. I should let you know, We have a lot of Trump supporters.
Okay.
Who follow us on Talkonomics. So be kind.
Listen, to each their own.
Right.
I really, you know, you have to go where your heart is and where your head is.
What if your heart is in the depths of hell? I'm not saying Trump is, but, you know, the Trump supporters would say Hillary Clinton is there.
You will suffer the consequences.
You know, it's really interesting. When you listen to both sides of the political campaign, and I'm old enough to have watched this, both sides call the other side evil. And just, it's amazing.
Yeah. You know, I wish we could. My husband's not from this country, and where he is from, the election cycle is 6 weeks, literally 6 weeks. And it would be so refreshing, I think, for us. I mean, we wouldn't have as much to talk about, but, I mean, the emotional toll that it is taking on Americans across the, I mean, people who support Bernie, you know, they're freaking out. And Bernie, he hasn't conceded yet anything because he's like, there are millions of people behind me. I can't let them down. I can't let myself down. And as you know, once you feel the burn, sometimes you need medical attention to get rid of it.
You just equated Bernie Sanders with a sexually transmitted disease.
No.
That was not me, folks. That was Kareth. It wasn't me.
Like him.
Well, okay, you like him, but, you know, at some point, you're kind towards the Sanders supporters, but come on, the guy's a narcissist. Step down.
Who in politics isn't?
That's a good point. I mean, Hillary Clinton, yes. Donald Trump a narcissist?
Really? I know.
No.
Shocking.
Okay, but here's the deal. Sanders met with President Obama. Wouldn't you love to have been a fly on the wall in that meeting?
Oh, without question.
What do you say if you're the president
without
of the United States
question.
And you're sitting across from Bernie Sanders wagging the fingers at you? What do you say?
Well, if he was from Texas, he'd say, bless your heart, Bernie.
Isn't that how people in Texas insult?
Mm-hmm.
Bless your heart. You never want someone from Texas to say bless your
you're
heart, right?
Special.
So I knew a Southerner years ago, and she used to say that if I tell you that's precious, it means I really like it. But if I tell you that's nice, I've just insulted you.
That's nice.
Right.
Because it's all how you say it.
Yeah.
So
what do you think the president said?
I'm sure that he actually likes Bernie Sanders. I'm sure there are a lot of things that he agrees with. But, you know, I'm assuming he might have said, listen, you know, we've got to pull the party together.
How do you do that, though? Bernie Sanders is splitting it apart. 30% of his supporters are saying no way would they vote for Hillary Clinton.
I know. I don't know. I mean, I feel like Bernie's borrowing a book from 1988 and, you know, Keep Hope Alive.
1988? How about 1932, Communism Now? I mean, Bernie Sanders. I mean, get with the program, Bernie. The United States is not going to elect a socialist.
I know. I really, you know, it's a very interesting dynamic that's happening right now. I mean, this is – everybody's feeling pulled apart. I mean, you got Paul Ryan saying all insane Trump's
don't you love this? When Ryan says, I'm supporting Donald Trump, but that was deplorable. Well, what he said about the judge. I lived in Indiana, by the way. I used to refer to myself as a Hoosier by choice.
Nice.
By the way, do you know what Hoosier means?
Well, isn't it – well, I know it's not just the basketball team, but I did know – I have baby brain right now. Go
it's
ahead.
Okay. No, because you have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old.
three and two.
Three.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Even.
When do you sleep?
Don't get me wet or feed me after midnight.
But Bernie Sanders and I'm not going there. I think I'm blushing right now. I was talking Trump and Hoosiers.
I know. I made
judge.
A Gremlin reference, not a sexual reference.
Indiana.
Yes.
I lived
yes.
in Indiana for almost 7 years. I really like South Bend and Indianapolis. In Indianapolis, they used to say the definition of Hoosier. I had friends who were really off color, and they would say, who's your mama, who's your daddy?
Nice.
That's what Hoosier meant to them. That's not what it meant. And no one knows officially what Hoosier means.
Okay.
But apparently when the people would be settling Indiana, I know that's not politically correct anymore because of cultural appropriation. We appropriated Indiana.
When you appropriated Indiana.
Right. Uh-huh. But they would say, who's here? Hoosier.
Oh, really?
Sounds good.
Okay. That's kind of like my Plano, where I grew up, being named. Like, that's actually what apparently the white settlers thought the Spanish word for plains was.
Plano?
Mm-hmm.
That's like
because it was flat.
Okay,
so I
speak Spanish, and uh-huh. I remember listening to when I was studying Spanish, people, when they thought they were embarrassed, they would say, oh, estoy embarazada,
mm-hmm.
which means I'm pregnant.
Oh, yeah, totally different.
Right, yeah, wrong word. But when Trump went after the judge, who's a Hoosier, but he's of Mexican descent,
right.
You know, it does seem really inappropriate. And now I'm watching Trump supporters fall over themselves to try and explain, you know, well, the judge does belong to an organization which has taken positions. You know, just that, admit that perhaps it was a mistake to go there.
How upset would Trump supporters be if everybody said, well, Trump said that because he's German? Trump, that's what that's all about. He's got this German heritage. So he's, you know, he's angry and he's this and he's that. And, you know, by the way, I've been to Germany. I've actually dated a couple of Germans. And they're lovely people. However, there is a history that we all know throughout the world about what has happened and what, you know, it came from Germany. So, you know, to make that association, and that's what is so frustrating about culture in America. Like, we have to divide people by their ethnicity. Why can't you just be an American?
You once said that to me, by the way, that when you moved from, I think it was from Texas to New York, you had to identify yourself.
I had to identify. What are you? People would ask me what I was. And it wasn't just, you know, it was everybody, black people, Hispanic people, white people. What are you? What do you mean, what am I? I'm black. But what kind of black? You know, like, are you Caribbean? Are you Egyptian? What? The only time in my life I have ever felt completely okay with just being able to be who I am was when I lived in England. I studied at Oxford, and I was just Carith, and I was just American. I wasn't African-American. I wasn't black. I was just Carith, and I was American, and it was so refreshing. And I don't know if we'll ever get to that point in this country.
I don't know. What I was actually thinking, forgive me, because you were making a very serious point there, was if there's a television producer listening, you should do a TV show and call it Just Carith.
Just Carith.
Just Carith. But no, it's interesting because I don't go through what you go through, but I think all of us in the States, but I think this happens in Europe too. We try to figure out our world as quickly as possible and put things into compartments we understand.
Absolutely.
So maybe that's what you were experiencing.
Without question, we do that.
There used to be a thing years ago, there was the joke about, it was a Saturday Night Live skit, dark-skinned black versus light-skinned black. Mm. And I forget the name. He was the UN ambassador from the United States. He's now deceased. Did this. It'll come to me later. But is there within the African-American community these stratifications?
Without question, yes. It's been plaguing. I mean, this was I hate to say this because everyone's like, oh, you're going to bring – but it goes back to slavery. I mean, there was a difference in treatment between slaves that were mixed with white blood and slaves that were dark, because slaves that were mixed with white blood were part of the family, technically, even though they were still slaves, and they were house slaves. You know, so they got better treatment. They got better food. And, you know, we were just actually talking about this. My grandmother, my grandmother used to tell me stories. Her grandfather was the slave master's son. And while it wasn't probably a traditional family, her aunts and uncles, because they couldn't associate with him during the day, would sneak across the tracks at night to visit with their family. But her grandfather looked white. He had blonde hair and blue eyes. And so it was one of those situations where there was obviously better treatment in that, of that family because of that. My grandmother's father was one of the first black postmaster general in South Carolina.
Wow.
Because of who his grandfather was, which was a slave master. So that was nepotism at work and white privilege, if you will. And that is, you know, I'm fourth generation on both sides to go to college.
Wow.
And I know that was because of that situation. You know what I mean? Like,
still,
it was set up.
I'm still trying to envision white privilege for a person who most people would say is African American.
Right. But that's where it traces back to.
And you know how I feel about that term, white privilege.
I do.
Because I've culturally appropriated so many things in my life and am proud of it. Oh, am I going to get nasty tweets on that one? Coffee. We're drinking coffee right now.
Like
did
your
we
Miata.
Culturally appropriate?
you appropriated
the
your
Japanese
Miata.
Are going to be very angry. Yes, I had a midlife crisis and I bought a Miata because I like convertibles. I want to go back to the election real quick.
Yes.
What do you think is going to happen this summer? Is it going to be crazy violent?
Oh, God, I hope not. I really hope it's not going to be violent. But you know what? People's emotions are so high and things are so raw right now. And I mean, I understand why people support Trump. I understand why people support Sanders. And I get why people support Hillary. But the Sanders and Trump thing is people are so tired of these career politicians. You know, it feels like we've had this system in place for so long. I mean, back when the country was founded, initially, from my understanding, it was set up so that there were people from every walk of life who were able to become president. Like, you would have a farmer. You would have a teacher.
When the country was set up, it was landowners who set up the country to make sure landowners continued to run the country.
Yes, but they wanted people in different occupations, people who had different, who brought something different to the seat, to that position of power. And listen, I am not saying it was okay because back then I wouldn't have been able to vote or
do
anything.
Woman, black, yeah.
Forget it. I would have been, you know, tossed out on my behind. But I, like, my understanding was that it wasn't about being a career politician.
Right,
like,
right. It was a part-time, somebody, no, part-time Congress. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And you were, it was, there's supposed to be a rotation of people who brought different experiences.
And now we have the best Congress money can buy.
Yeah, yeah.
Which could be a problem, right?
Yeah.
The you know, what's interesting to me, though, as we watch the election is I'm torn. I really want, and you'll probably, I don't know if you'd agree with me or not. When I look back, Ronald Reagan, there was a leader. Margaret Thatcher, you lived in England. there was a leader. There were people who inspired you. It's like, yes, we can be better. We can do better. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton do that for you? Donald Trump do that for you?
Honestly, not really. I mean, listen, I think she has tremendous credits. I think she is a very intelligent woman. So it's not like I don't think she's capable of doing it. I don't necessarily agree with all of the things that have transpired in her,
oh,
you
mean like the little email issues and maybe taking money through the foundation to,
you're
willing to look the other way.
I don't want to look the other way, but if the alternative is someone who I think does not have any interest of mine at heart, then yeah, I'm with her. I can't believe I just said that, but
okay.
Yeah.
No, you're allowed to take a. I'm not allowed to take a position because of my job as a reporter. But so let me ask you this: you brought up something my father used to say, and I adore my father. I love my father, but I can't. drives me crazy. I think adult children of other adults can relate to this. One day, your daughters will love you, but not want to be around you because, like, you drive me nuts, Mom. Right.
Yeah.
My father used to say, and still does, the United States should go to a parliamentary system. I said, no, we're a republic that was set up. But you said it when you said we should only have a 6-week election cycle like they do in Europe.
Yeah. Well, and also, yeah, I was thinking Australia because that's where my husband's from.
Okay.
And he, and it just seems like, it costs so much less money. Yeah. I mean, that's what kills me right now. The money that is being spent. There are children who can't go to the library in their own school because school systems can't afford a librarian. You know, what the hell are we doing with all of this money for what?
Well, you get to watch TV and see the political ads. They're great.
Yeah.
I mean, you know these ads this summer are going to be great. Donald Trump will be up there going, Hillary Clinton, do you like Hillary Clinton? Absolutely not. She's crooked. And then Clinton will be like, Donald Trump, totally incompetent to be president. Do you like Donald Trump? Absolutely not. And then they should, you know what they should do?
Auto-tune him.
You know, they should do what I guess it was the ancient Greeks used to do. Put Hillary and Donald in a boxing ring. Fight to the death. The winner's president. I've just solved the problem, right? No, but I want to get back to my dad.
So yes.
My
dad. Oh, yeah. Your dad is here.
He's here.
Right?
He arrived yesterday, and I'm freaking because my space is invaded.
Yes, it
is. And as anyone over the age of 18 in a committed relationship or married knows, when the parents come to visit, the household becomes a no-nookie zone because it's just too gross to even envision.
Oh, God.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, dad is here. Just a quick story about my father. My father years ago had heart surgery, and my brothers and I took turns. I went down there, and my week down there was cleaning out certain parts of the house. My other brother came down while he was recovering, and he was cleaning out this cupboard my dad had, which was a walk-in cupboard. His wife had died. His second wife had died. And my father says to my brother, don't kill the spiders. They eat the bugs.
Stop it. Stop it.
Well, South Florida.
My dad says that too. But
really?
Yes. We weren't allowed to kill spiders. We weren't because they eat mosquitoes. My father hates mosquitoes.
Okay. I'm Chemical Ali. There is so much toxic chemical in my apartment to kill roaches, bugs. There's nothing living in my apartment short of the human beings.
Oh.
And I like it that way.
Listen, I'm with you, but I'm all natural. So no chemicals in my house. Not even like cleaning agents. I make my own cleaning supplies.
How?
Vinegar, oh my gosh. First of all, it's so easy and so simple. Vinegar, water, and I use certain essential oils.
Is this an advertisement from Massengill? I mean, come on.
Oh my God, seriously?
Yes, I went there. Sorry. Okay, I've appropriated women's cultures.
Which, by the way, is one of the most unnatural things a woman could ever do, just in case we have women listening, like not to like put a damper on that industry. But hello, your body does it naturally. You don't need anything added to your body to make things happen.
Okay, I'm not going there because nothing good can come of this conversation.
Know.
But you really, why don't you just go buy some Windex?
Because I have small small children who will put a nozzle in their mouth and squeeze.
I am a child of the 70s and 80s. There were chemicals all around, and there's nothing wrong with it. Yes, I have
there's
two heads.
There's nothing wrong with you? Okay. Okay. I'll let you live in that little fantasy world.
Thank you very much. But we're going to have to continue this next time because I really am. I'm one of these people who says, pesticides, bring them on. Fertilizers and stuff.
No, because
there was a wonderful National Geographic article about it was almost 10 years ago. Because of the proper use of pesticides and fertilizers, we have doubled crop yields worldwide every 20 years. That means people don't starve. And when I listen to friends of mine say, is it organic? You know, I'm trying to do this, you know, very earthy California granola accent. When they talk about this business, you know, when they talk about banning pesticides and fertilizers, what you're talking about is making people starve in other parts of the world.
I think there's a way to do it naturally. I don't think you have to have those chemicals. Peppermint is amazing at keeping bugs and other things away from plants that we need to live and thrive. And actually, in some studies, have been found to be more effective. People just don't know about that stuff because it's not a huge moneymaker.
So I got to take peppermint and take a leaf and rub it all over the apartment? No. I'm getting the raid and away we go.
And then you'll be coughing because of your cancer in like, you know, 15 years. Go ahead.
We'll see. Listen, we live longer than we've ever lived before. We do. That's just a fact. And we've had all these chemicals and all of these glutens.
But people are sicker.
You're gluten-free, aren't you?
People are sicker than, yes, I am. Yes, well, I am, proud of it.
Well, no, we have a colleague, a work colleague, who really is a celiac disease, lives with celiac disease, and has to be gluten-free.
Everybody is. It's just to what degree? Everybody's lactose intolerant. It's just to what degree?
Excuse me. You put milk in that coffee.
No, well, yes, because I need it. But not a lot. Not a lot. Just a little bit. This is the first time I've had coffee in like probably 45 days.
You had wine, by the way.
Oh, yes, I did. And it was glorious. It was glorious. I have children. I have to drink.
Among other things. Heavily, right? Adult beverages. Bring on the scotch.
I used to think people who drank before 4 o'clock were alcoholics. Now I'm like, they're just parents.
All right, I'm giving you the last word. The serious issue that people need to pay attention to in the next couple of weeks, what do you think it is? Is it the European, let's vote to get out of Europe, the UK? Is it Clinton, Trump? Or is it something we're not even aware of?
God, there's so many things going on in the world. I think people just need to actually really pay attention to what's – like not just read the front page of the paper. Go to page 7, page 8. See what's really happening.
Now page 6?
I'm sorry.
Page 6 is the gossip page at the New York Post.
If you need a laugh, go to page 6. But no, but truly investigate. Don't just read the headlines. See what else is happening underneath because that's where stuff is going on in the world that we need to be putting our attention to.
No. I said I'd give you the last word. No. No, watch TV. You'll be fine. Watch the commercials. All is good. Remain calm.
Keep getting those pesticides in your breakfast cereal. Go ahead.
Gareth Foster, it's always good to talk to you.
You too. Thank you.
I really appreciate your tweeting me or tweeting at me. And remember, it's at AJ Shaps, S-H-A-P-S, at Twitter. And let me know what you would like perhaps next time Gareth is in when we do another episode of Foster and Shapiro Timely Topics, what you'd like us to talk about. And we will go there. We'll go places no one has gone before to steal the Star Trek line, and hopefully we won't get reprimanded for it, and we'll be able to keep our jobs. All the best to you, and once again, thank you for listening to this episode of Talking Topics.